Yes, mix of music, 90.4 Capital FM. Good evening, how are you doing? It's what, exactly 6:30, come at the time, come at the moment. Every Thursday we do this from 6:30 to 7:30. The Legal Insider. It's me, Charles Carey. Every Thursday, that's what we do. And of course, with my friend, my brother, also my lawyer, so don't think about suing me anytime because he's crazy. He's he's the best of the best. Mutua Mutuku, my brother, how are you?
I'm well, how are you, Charlie?
I'm very good.
How was the weekend?
The weekend was the weekend. What weekend? The other weekend. I was working, by the way. Yeah. It was a working weekend. You know, they have Karen. They've got all these things that are happening. Mother's Day, blah, blah, blah. There are launches. People actually, the business community is actually relaunching and doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
So Capital FM, luckily, has become sort of like a media go-to for such events, for launches and all that, which is actually a good thing. How was your weekend, brother?
My weekend was okay. Mm-hmm. I've just been listening to you guys advertising and talking about Bobby Valentino.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward
You're
to
looking
it.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it was a lot of sports-filled weekend. Mm-hmm. I went to visit a friend of mine called Julius Shege.
Uh-huh.
He had a small mbuzi. We had a good time, and the family was there, friends or there, people he hadn't seen in years were there, and we had a good time over the weekend.
Oh, fantastic!
Yes,
all right. Yes, it is every Thursday. We always have a guest, and yes, this evening we have a guest in the studio with us.
You know, today is a Friday that is not a Friday.
It is a Friday, which is not a Friday, by the way. It's very, very true. Yeah. But very quickly, let's get to the guest. His name is Kennedy Osore, head of public affairs at Tala Kenya. Why head? When you hear the head, he has a salary. Ken, welcome to Capital.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for having me. Yeah, really glad to be here.
Karibu sana.
It's actually my first time on radio.
Oh, really? Oh.
Can we say it's my debut?
It's your debut.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
We'll take photos. And
I hope you score a hat trick. I hope that's what people do on their debuts.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We're recording the show, so you'll get a copy of that, so you can be listening. Tell people, that's me. That is me on radio. Yeah. Anyway, guys, it's like, as Mutua said, it's a Thursday, Friday. It actually felt like a Friday today from morning. And why this holiday, Mutua, tree planting? Because I know there's a connection between tree planting, climate change, and I know you're the expert when it comes to that. Sorry, but Ken, we're coming back to you, but quickly, this wakili of mine, tell us, sir.
Look, it's funny for a country like ours that we've not met a certain threshold when it comes to economics. Mm-hmm. We've not broken to be where we are. We have so many holidays. Mm. But then again, you ask yourself, why do we have so many holidays? A while ago, was it October or November last year?
Correct.
We had a tree planting exercise. Mm-hmm. But now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Mm-hmm. It's not really a Kenyan holiday. It's an IMF holiday. This is to mean this. Uh-huh. There's something we call Resilience and Sustainability Fund. Mm-hmm. And I think the first episode or the second episode, the time I came as a guest, we had a conversation about it.
Yes.
So technically, mm-hmm. your government is running on autopilot.
Here we go.
the presidency is being run from the Bretton Woods atmosphere. And technically, what is being happening is that there are certain funds that need to be unlocked by the government. Mm-hmm. And there are milestones that have to be met. Mm-hmm. And one of the milestones is that the tree cover in the country, which is a good thing. No one is disputing it, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be a holiday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look. Uh-huh. So there are certain metrics that have to be met. Mm-hmm. The government was told, you guys, the tree cover has to be at this level. And civil servants have to go home and plant trees and come up with evidence showing that we've planted a number of trees, so our tree cover has improved. So it has nothing to do with any interests of Kenyans. It's everything to do with the International Monetary Fund and the Bretton Woods. So basically that's it. And that's not even, that's the easier part.
Okay.
The hard part is the next metric mm-hmm. that I've seen mm-hmm. from the documentation mm-hmm. is conversations around service level agreements between the government and its employees. You heard a while back the CS for public service talking about people being put on contracts.
Yes, I heard about it.
Nothing slips out of the tongue just easily. Mm. Yeah, it's been in the making. So the next metric that is going to be a measure to unlock certain funds is the government is going to have a conversation with its civil servants and see who can they can squeeze every single pound of flesh, as Shylock says in the book of Merchant of Venice.
William Shakespeare.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is, so we don't really have, we have a holiday, but we don't really have a holiday. But anyway, Kenyans, we can take this moment and celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can give me a whiskey.
Yeah.
I'll be very happy to have that.
Wow.
Yes.
See, if you're listening, just tune in. That's why I love this show. These guys know how to unlock a lot of things. Thank you so much for that one.
You're welcome.
Wow. Yeah. That's what's up. All right. 0701984984 # Legal Insider # Quick One Wakili. Ken Osoro, welcome again to Capital FM.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. It's Osore.
Osore.
A lot of people get confused that because the name Osore and Osoro is used by two neighboring communities.
Okay.
One would think I'm from the other side, but I'm on the other side. So it's okay. It's Osore.
Okay. Osore. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Thank you, Mutua, too, for bringing me onto the show. Mm-hmm. Super happy to be here and looking forward to our discussion.
Yes, please. Yeah. But let's begin. Who is Ken?
I'll start by mentioning just what you said. Kennedy Osore is the head of public affairs at Tala Kenya. Mm-hmm. Recently joined. I'm actually just settling in.
Okay.
I'm a lawyer as well, just as Mutua. Mm-hmm. An advocate of the High Court of Kenya.
Well,
a commissioner for oaths. So I've got the whole shebang when it comes to being on the legal side of things.
All right.
But I wouldn't say I'm your typical lawyer, mm-hmm. and I want to loosely use that term. Because some people have complained. There's a time I was saying, I don't practice law in the traditional sense. And people are wondering, what are you saying traditional? Are you saying we are traditional and you are not? So when I say not practicing in the traditional sense, I mean, I am not as Mutua. You see the way he's well-dressed with a nice tie, nice suit.
Yes, absolutely. That's him every Thursday.
You won't necessarily find me in the court corridors arguing cases on behalf of clients. Mm-hmm. I've taken a slightly different route, which I think will be also the subject of discussion during this show. Mm-hmm. I'm a lawyer, yes, by name, but I practice within the public policy, public affairs dimension.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And I know we'll break that down a bit as we delve into the subject.
No, Charlie, let's do this.
Okay.
Why should we wait? We might as well as break
let's
it down.
Let's go.
When you say a lot, that is a lot of English, right?
Pardon my English.
Right? So just break it down. What is public policy, public affairs, government relations? What the hell is that?
I know it can be a mouthful when you put it that way, but it's actually not complex. I normally like to say that public policy, government relations is an art in and of itself and not really a science. It's not an exact science, it's an art. And the way I would want to put it, and I want to make it simple to our listeners, is think of it as where one is acting as a bridge. So when you talk of public policy, and I'm looking at this within the context of navigating business in the sense of corporate and stakeholders, which would involve, let's say, like government. So when you're narrowing it down to government relations, the thing here would be, as a practitioner within the public policy government relations space, how then do you navigate the interests between the business sector, which is the private sector, and the interests within government? And a lot of things are shaped through policies. So as a business, you'll be very keen and you'll be interested to understand, how does government policy, when it is translated into law, impact my business or affect my business? Mm-hmm. And what say do I have in the formulation of those policies? Do I have a standing in terms of putting in proposals, crafting it? How do I factor in my interest within the policy, which still aligns with the wider interest that the government of the day has?
So basically what you're saying is that public relations and public affairs, they're different, but they focus on more or less the same thing.
Yes, so public relations and public affairs.
So relations is more like getting the positivity in and having a chat with people, and creating a mindset while affairs is now going directly to the person.
Public relations. You see now how they are sanitizing Lentori. Now that. Now that is public relations.
Yeah.
Now the other one that he's talking about, yes. He can tell us.
All right.
Yes. But there's a relationship, a close relationship. Before moving to Tala, I've actually worked in a public relations firm.
Mm-hmm.
It's an integrated firm, so it has marketing, communications, public relations, and within it they had public policy, which is now where I was at.
Correct, yeah.
And work, so working very closely with public relations. But for public affairs, think of it a lot of stakeholder engagement.
Yes, that's where
you're actually having sit downs.
Yes.
It could, if it's government, you'll be having sit down with government officials. It could be legislatures who are then responsible for coming up, formulating laws. It could be with regulators.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's to bridge that gap where you are sitting there as a regulator, but do you really understand the other side where there's an interest in terms of ensuring there's a good and positive environment for business? Whatever policies you put in place, do they have a negative effect on businesses or do they have a positive effect? We talk about Kenya increasing its index in terms of business. So how do our policy, and I think I'll just take it a step back. For a lawyer in your typical day-to-day, and remember I use traditional lawyer,
mm-hmm.
you'll most likely interact with the law as and when it is a law. Mm-hmm. So you are either interpreting the law, you're advising a client around what the law says. Now when you go to public policy, there's a whole lawmaking process behind the law. Right now I know Kenyans, we are going to a phase where we are going to see the finance bill. So the finance bill, there's a process that has led up to the finance bill.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has also involved taking in input from stakeholders, understanding what is the priority of the government of the day. We have the bottom-up economic transformation agenda. What are the priorities under that plan? This has informed a lot of what we are going to see in the finance bill. But amidst all that within the government plan, there's a plan to, of course, foster a positive business environment,
correct.
One that spurs the economy, ensures there's investment and all that.
Relations.
So for that to be appreciated, then you need somebody to step in and have a conversation with the relevant people, either if it's in government, if it's MPs, and tell them,
mm-hmm.
if we are thinking about a certain tax, then this is the likely implication if we go that particular route.
Okay.
And then probably why that shouldn't be the route we take and what is the alternative.
So Nicolese, sorry. With this, all this English that you've said, are you avoiding to say lobbying?
I was coming to it.
Oh, you're coming to it.
Yeah, there's lobbying.
Yeah.
I'd actually broken down like the key elements that will be under government relations. Let's zero in on government relations.
Oh, sure.
So government relations is just a subset of public affairs, what public policy. It's an element.
Right.
Let me put it like that.
Yeah.
Where now you'll be doing a lot of what will happen generally in the public policy space, but here you are dealing directly with either government officials, regulator, government agencies. So this is purely for GAVA. And one of the things that would happen there will be something we call advocacy and lobbying.
Bas.
Yes.
Bas.
I know there are various definitions of what lobbying entails.
Yeah, that's what we
want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But how I would put it is when you're actually lobbying, you are trying to put up a case. And that's where now the lawyer side of things comes in. So I'm still leveraging on my legal skills.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting up a case and explaining why certain positions would be favorable, not only for business or a particular organization, but even for the wider economy, looking at the interests of the government, public interest, and all these manner of things. So there's a lot of engagement that will go into it. And it's always a universe of stakeholders. We like to call it a church of stakeholders.
A church of stakeholders.
A church of stakeholders.
Yeah. Like Charlie is happy.
Let me write it down.
Church
I'm
of stakeholders.
I'm in school.
So it's never always one person that you're dealing with. And remember, it's always a balance of interests. If I'm talking, for example, let's look at the finance bill or the process that's leading up to it. You'll have the finance committee sitting at the National Assembly being a very critical stakeholder and the MPs that actually sit there. But they're not the only people. Remember, you have National Treasury, even at the point where you're coming up with the budget policy statement. Remember, it's a myriad of players. And first, you start by understanding, then, who are my stakeholders? So if I'm advocating or lobbying for a particular organization, I need to understand who are the key stakeholders for this organization. And once I've understood that, I map them into, let's say, level of priorities and level of influence. So you'll be saying, if it's a matter of regulations that are being put in place, these are my key stakeholders, and this is the level of influence they have, which then informs how you engage with them. And it's good to point out that stakeholder engagement is not a one-time sort of event. Mm. Relationship building in and of itself demands that you have a continuous relationship.
Okay.
So I don't wake up today and say, oh, I've just seen the finance bill has come out. Now I want to run to the chair, Hon Kimani Kuria, who sits at the finance committee at the National Assembly. So now I want to speak to the committee about this. In your space, what have you been doing? Even beyond just pushing for a particular interest that you have, how have you worked to ensure that there are certain good policies all through? Mm. So it's a relationship building. Think of it the way you would have a relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. You don't just wake up and want something. In fact, most of the time you should be giving before you actually receive.
So
Charlie, write down.
No, you should be giving. Yeah, okay, yeah. Keep going. I'm just trying to formulate
once something. Once you have your stakeholders, there are a number of ways that you'll go about engaging them. And lobbying is just one aspect of it, mm-hmm. where you now put across your case. There are a number of ways you could be having meetings. You could be writing position papers on why you think a certain policy direction is positive and could be good for the country at large and even the businesses or the industry, particular industry that you operate in. It could be going for workshops where you are probably delving into certain policies that are being drafted and putting in your input and all that. So a number of ways to go about lobbying. That's how I would put it. The other arm that falls within government relations, I would say, is around understanding, keeping abreast on regulation and legislation. So for you to effectively be a public policy government relations practitioner, you always need to know what is happening, what is emerging, what's in the works, what is in the pipeline, what direction are we taking. I will take an example. Right now, last month, mm-hmm. through the CS Transport, Kipchumba Murkomen, mm-hmm. they launched the e-mobility policy. So Kenya is taking a direction where we are seeing we, as part of climate change mitigation and all these things that we are doing, and just being at the forefront, you know, Kenya has taken such a leading role even in Africa in terms of pushing for climate change. Hence the holiday tomorrow. I'm not delving into the IMF story.
Thank you, Mutua. He's explained why.
Yeah. So we've come up with a policy. So it's now open for discussion. It's been put out to invite proposals from all stakeholders. And when you say stakeholders, it's not limited to just players in that industry. Even as a common mwananchi, you have a say. You can go in and say, this is what I think about this policy. Maybe we've forgotten or we've not put in something that, based on our local circumstances in Kenya, we need to have considered. Sometimes we fall into the trap of, let me say, copy-pasting, where we take something that has worked in another country, but it's not really suited to our local circumstances.
Yeah.
So when you put it to test and you do a stress test on it, then you realize, we need to tweak a few things here and there. Mm-hmm. So it's critical that there's that stakeholder input. And that's also where, as a public policy government relations practitioner, your input becomes vital.
So let me ask you, sorry.
Do ask.
Now, in this situation, you're saying that element of knowing and keeping abreast of what is happening. So at what point, because by the time I'm knowing about immobility policy, everyone knows about it. So how am I going to be of help to my client? Should I be knowing now or should I be knowing even before? When? At what point should I have this knowledge?
Good one. That's a good one. Yeah. Mm. The way I would answer that is that, and I think I touched on relationship building, and I actually emphasize that it's a continuous process. A lot of this work is also dependent on the kind of relationships you've built and the network that you have. You know, information, there's a way information spreads. There's information that is publicly accessible to people at the same time, but there's information you get because of certain relationships that you've cultivated over time. So you're able to get wind of something before it's even out there in the public. So those relationships are key, because then you get to beforehand know what is happening. You're able then to quickly advise the business or the organization that you're working for, that is this something around the corner that we need to start thinking about. This is how it will potentially impact our business. And so this is the kind of roadmap and strategy that we are taking in terms of that, providing our input on the same. So there I will really peg it on relationships and the importance of ensuring that you have these continuous relationships and a network that actually then ends up serving you.
Now, just a follow-up of follow-up to that. Is it then a thin line between government relations and state capture?
Good one.
Yeah. state capture is a big one. That's a big one. Mm. Those are very, I think there are two different things. The way I look at it, state capture is essentially when private interests sort of, and I'm putting this in a very rudimental way, take override public interest. Let's use the example of South Africa. I think that's a good case study to use.
The Guptas,
yes. And you could tell, and then there was a proper task force that was formed, a judicial inquiry that looked into all that. It even implicated former President Zuma. And you could tell the level of influence that was coming from the private side. In fact, and I think Mutua, you use this word when you're saying, I don't think you said remote control, but something to along the line that our government is being.
Oh, the remote, the Bretton Woods.
Yes.
Yes, I said that.
So in this state capture instance, basically somebody, a shadowy figure, who then calls the shots behind the curtains, and mainly to drive private interest. And here, basically, they would have taken hold of whoever ideally is supposed to sit in a public seat, who then serves public interest, now divert that attention to serving private interest. So this is different. When we talk about public policy, lobbying, government relations engagement, this is a conversation. This is a sit down. This is understanding that we have two sides to a story. We have GAVA that is looking at things a certain way and probably has this lens that has a level of its own bias. And we have business. And when I talk of business, I mean, look at it generally, private sector. It could be the SMEs down there. It could be even your mama mboga, who also has a lens that they are looking at things and things that are affecting them differently. Let's take, for instance, our government right now. I know there's this drive to mobilize revenue. And you can tell even from the proposals that are coming in around taxation. I know affordable housing has been a thorny one. And then guys have complained quite a bit around it. So you can already tell the objective of government is to ensure how do we drive revenue. We need to collect as much as we can. But with that objective, are you also looking at it from the side of the private sector?
The businesses.
What are they saying about it? What will be the impact? If we do it the wrong way, we end up, they say you kill the goose that lays the golden egg. So that could be the case where you find yourself. So it's then striking a balance. I like saying finding the sweet spot where GAVA still finds a way to fulfill its interest to some level while still catering to the private sector interest. And remember, these two people need each other. We need government to provide a conducive environment where business can operate, where we can invest and do these manner of things. And government needs
private sector
to generate that sort of revenue that we're talking about.
So it's a symbiotic relationship.
Perfectly.
Is it always a symbiotic relationship?
There are times where there's friction. Yeah. Of course, in any...
That's the part we want to hear.
Of course, in any relationship...
Because what you said is actually very textbook, very nice. We want to hear about the problems.
There are definitely problems.
Yes,
they are definitely problems. I remember this is a... It's a space where you are dealing with people.
Exactly.
And whenever you are dealing with people, conflict is bound to happen. And I mentioned something around interests. When you are mapping stakeholders, each stakeholder has their interest.
Interests, yes.
A different interest. Some interests could be driven by certain agenda. Some could be driven by good public agenda. So it's then navigating that space and understanding, having an understanding of what is this person's interest. So even as a public policy practitioner, you need to be somebody who can read someone else. And actually read even beyond the lines. I may be listening to you, but I'm hearing more than what you're saying. That kind of stuff.
Oh, that's very media.
Yes.
That's very media and statecraft.
That's very media.
So being able to...
But you're listening at 10 things at the same time.
Being able to pick that and then understanding how then do I navigate that? How do I ensure? Because remember, this is a negotiation sort of affair. It's not a winner-take-all. It's finding that balance where you feel you've gotten something that works, while the other party also feels it's a win-win situation. But of course, it doesn't always happen as ideally as I'm putting it. So there'll be instances where things don't go a certain way and the effects are immediately felt. So I've had the privilege to work with a number of brands in this country, mm-hmm. and we've had instances where you lobby for something and you see clearly if Gava takes a different route, there's going to be an impact. Some of the taxes that have been introduced over time, including excise duty on things like your internet, your transaction between bank and M-Pesa, and all these things that happen, have an impact on the end consumer.
Yeah.
Because then this cost is passed to the end consumer. And there are people in this country, and a lot for that matter, who even a change in like 5 shillings means the whole world. It's a whole difference for them.
I agree.
And so sometimes you find somebody seated at that high level, is a public officer, and probably they can't relate with what's happening at that
ground.
Yeah.
Then you're able to, like, what is 5 bob? See, it's only 5 bob, it's 10 bob.
Mm.
But you have that mama mboga, that SME person down there, who that 5 bob is going to turn their life a different way, negatively. So that's why we step in and say, hold it for a minute. Yes, we might be this big organization, but we serve a broad sector in Kenya, and the bulk of these people are those consumers that we are trying to protect and a bottom up. And if you actually go with this direction, these are going to be the implications on them. Mm. So I would actually say, as a lawyer, I'm an advocate for the public.
Okay, Omtata, for the public.
Okay, Omtata. Yes. Wow. So basically, just trying to bridge these two, the mama mboga who's there, who you're coming up with all these policies, knowing that that 5 bob is going to affect that person.
Yes.
And yet you have this group of people like, sorry to use the word, like Mutua, who says, what is 5 bob?
After one week,
this thing will be over. How do you bridge that? I mean, here you are, because what we say also in media, also in theater, people or actors are like racehorses. When do you rein them in? When do you release it? You know, because it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act. So
it is. And I think,
have you gotten to a point you just throw your hands and say, you know what, kaende,
come by and buy.
Like for example, you remember remember the finance act that passed.
Yeah,
there's a lot of push from the public.
Yes,
guys submitted in their memorandum to parliament. So many organizations did that, but then government was hellbent.
Mm.
They said, no. This has to pass the way it is. Correct. Without amendments. So also, as a build up to what Charlie has said, is it sometimes you get to a point and you figure out that the government is just doing this as a charade?
Yes.
We just want this thing to pass. We want to make sure that it passed through public participation. It passed and it enacted into law. Do you also get to a point where that happens?
I think it has actually happened, and we've seen it. We've seen instances where government sort of bulldozes their agenda and they have their way at the end of the day. But I think it's critical we remember that we are in a democracy that is governed by a constitution. And even speaking as a lawyer now, who's taken oath while being admitted to the bar, I must always uphold what the constitution says. And we can't give up on it. We're still a relatively young constitution, and we are finding our way even as we go about complying with it. There are certain values that are set in the constitution. Part of those values is around public participation. So I would say we are a participatory democracy. And it's something that we are experimenting
at
with.
At this juncture.
Yes, at this juncture.
Let me write it down. I'm in school. Participatory?
Participatory democracy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are experimenting. It's also good to understand the context in which we operate in, because sometimes I think we tend to forget that some of these things take time to take root. We like quoting examples of countries that have probably experimented with their constitutions for over 200 years.
US, India.
Yeah, and the likes.
No, not India.
No, India have been around, bro. They've done a quite... Okay, yeah,
I understand. India came much later.
Yeah, India came later. But yeah, the US, yeah.
But we are relatively still new kids in the block when it comes to such a progressive constitution. And this is not to provide an excuse, so that saying that we have to stomach some of those things that go the wrong way, but it is just to acknowledge the reality that we are still in a journey in terms of this new constitution. It came in 2010, and there was a whole background to it. A lot of people have suffered. Some have lost their lives towards getting to this stage. And so we have to remember, even as lawyers and even as non-lawyers, that there's been a journey to this, and we can't give up now. We can't throw our hands in the air and say, oh, but they've done this.
The horse has bolted.
Yeah. Is to go back and say, we gave unto ourselves this constitution. we are protecting it. We are sticking by it. And if it says we play by certain rules, those are the rules we are playing. We'll shout today, you might not hear us. We'll shout tomorrow. But eventually, we will have our say. Yeah.
Ken, hey, okay. Thank you so much. I'm learning so much about PR. It's one of the things I've been thinking in my life I should actually proceed and study some PR. I love PR. But breaking it down that way, wow, amazing. More coming up. Okay, listen up. If you just tuned in, it's Legal Inside every Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30. And in studio, Ken Osore, amazing public relations. That's what he's telling us, talking to us about. Of course, Wakili.
It's public policy.
Public policy. Yes. Was it public administration or public relations?
Public policy or and public government affairs. Relations.
Yeah. All that. It's in my notes, by the way. Questions are coming up. All right, 0701-984-9. If we take a short break, we'll be back. Right, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock, the Legal Insider. We're here on your best mix of music, 9.4 Capital FM. This conversation continues on 0701-984-94. Hashtag quick one, Wakili. Hashtag the Legal Insider. Of course, in studio again with me, Kennedy Osore, Head of Public Affairs. And he's telling us a lot of things. We're learning so much. Now, if you just tuned in, according to my notes, Ken, the Head of Public Affairs or Public Relations, what they do, cultivate, maintain relations with key stakeholders, government officials, community leaders, media representatives. Yeah,
correct.
Monitor and analyze public opinion. I'd like to know how you do that, by the way. Legislative development that would impact the organization's operations or public image. As you marinate on that one, because I know now you know, there's a question here for Mutua. And he's asking about the tree planting. He says, now that tomorrow is a holiday, Wakili, we plant trees. Where will we plant them? It's flooded everywhere. Amahini mitigani na pandwa. Yeah, somebody, this is Jeff actually who's asking.
Does Jeff vote that answer on air?
No. Just an honest answer.
But honestly, it's for me, it's a charade. It's okay. A charade.
Yeah.
And funds have to be unlocked. And the government has to do everything possible.
So for us to do this,
to unlock
the funds to come out.
Yes. There's a whole loan that has to be your president with the moniker that you've given him. He has to figure out how to get certain loans from wherever he's going to do it.
The other day we took another one. Yeah?
Yes. And of course, the economics, there's an economic argument for and against it, which is a whole different conversation that is best addressed by economists. But sincerely, it's IMF has come up with conditions. Mm-hmm. That is what happens so that you ensure the country does not default. So they put you on a leash. We want you to be like this. If for those who are older enough, they remember during Moi's time when they came up with conditions, there was a lot of restructuring.
IMF.
IMF in the public sector.
Yeah.
Universities, university staff, there were conditions that were placed. Universities that were making losses, there were conditions that were placed on it. So it comes with a whole different ball game that snowballs into many different aspects.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a charade, but you know, Kenyans love charade. Mm-hmm. So this is not the best thing that they should be hearing from a lawyer. Yeah. And also to be honest, it has messed up some of us had deadlines
for tomorrow.
Some of us had court for tomorrow. There were judgments to be delivered tomorrow.
And then you wake up on Monday, or Tuesday.
Mm. They could have even said last week so that we know people prepare for themselves. Mm. But you wake up and you're told there's a holiday. Now I have to go back to the registry and take a new date. Okay, I'm not saying it's a good thing to rest, but these too many holidays for a working nation that is not producing, that is hellbent, that has so many loans to clear, tells you something about your leaders. Let me leave it at that.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. As you said earlier on, but we won't go into it. There's a hidden hand.
Today is Kennedy Osore's day.
Kennedy Osore.
And we need to extract every pound of flesh from him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very quickly, Kennedy, this one is about somebody was writing down. I said the influence of public relations, allowing organization to shape public opinion, about whatever is going on, influence policy decisions, and protect against reputational risks.
Good. I like how you sum that up. And maybe just to draw a distinction.
Please, yeah.
So we have public relations.
Yes.
And we have public affairs. Mm. So there's a relationship between the two, mm. but they're not the same.
Yeah, they do different.
Yeah. So there's an objective that public relations would meet, mm-hmm. and there's public affairs that will meet. Mm-hmm. So for public affairs, and there are sections where now they sort of intersect. And I would just like to go into that because it's part of what you'd asked around reputation.
Reputation risks.
So yes. reputation management yeah. is actually very critical, and it's part of the role that a public affairs, public policy, government relations kind of person will be doing. Because at the end of the day, and here I want to zero in on public affairs and not government relations, yet I said it's an element of it. Mm-hmm. So government relations, remember here we are dealing specifically with government-affiliated people, stakeholders. But for public affairs, it's that church of stakeholders I was talking about. And I think you alluded to some. It could be community.
Yeah.
It could be the consumers, yeah. if it's your customers. Yes, yes. It could be so. It could be media. It could be the public in general.
Community leaders, government officials, all that, yeah.
Yeah, so it could be everyone,
analyzing
basically.
Public opinions yeah. and all that.
And just understanding.
So it's just basically everyone.
It is basically yes. everyone, really. It's basically everyone. Uh-huh. So then... reputation is actually critical, and we live in an age where crisis mutates pretty fast.
If it's not mitigated.
If it's not mitigated.
Yeah.
Before the age of social media,
oh my
news would hit you after, was it 24 hours or something around?
KBC. Station. Yeah.
Or some could even take longer depending on where you are located.
Yes.
But now at the touch of your screen, something goes viral on socials. So a lot of crisis quickly mutates. And remember, a lot of organizations and even corporate bodies, really, their brand, they would like to protect their brand because your brand is what actually represents you.
Mm.
If you talk of Safaricom, there's a view you have about Safaricom. If you talk of...
Capital
FM. Let's talk about...
There's
that brand about Capital FM.
No, you're quite right, because even when you're doing your contract, one of the things that is written there, do not bring this company to disrepute.
Exactly. Yes. And that is one thing that will... called summary dismissal. It's gross misconduct. You will go home. Yeah.
You go. Yeah.
So protecting the brand, protecting the reputation is actually critical. And now as a public affairs practitioner, it's then understanding, amongst all these stakeholders that I have, how do I make sure I maintain the reputation or even enhance it for that matter?
Yeah.
So if it's regulators, then I know what language I'm speaking with them, mm-hmm. what issues I'm handling with them to ensure I uphold this particular reputation. If it's your customers, and you know customers just complain, you go on X very fast, tag that person and say, this has happened.
Yeah. Yeah. How about a situation where, I'm just giving an example, I like giving an example to Wakili here, because he's my lawyer, he can't sue me.
He's on retainer.
I mean, people have gone to places, organizations where they get really poor service, really, really poor. And I'm talking about huge corporates, even banks, and they get so angry and they go on to X. They go onto social media.
Yeah.
Now, where does Ken come into this to try and mitigate that situation? Where do you go to? Do you go to the media? Do you call? What do you do? Just give me an example of a situation where something happened to Mutua and he got angry, said, you guys, you can't do this. He goes on to X and says, you guys took my money.
Also,
or you guys did this. You gave me a horrible product or something. Yes.
Also, just to build up on that, just to bring it on a global scale.
Yeah.
As a practitioner, where do you draw the line and tell a client, look, the tables have turned on me? And I'm drawing this from an example where we've had a certain state that has had one of the best public policy, public relations for the longest time. And now you can see students in a different country, in states, in state universities demonstrating. And where do you as a practitioner look at it and tell a client, look, the tables have switched. We might have to change this. Yeah.
Okay. Let me start with the example from Charles, then go into what Mutua has brought up. Let me use a subject that is close to Mutua's heart. I know he loves data protection.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then data protection has become a hot topic in this country. So you'll find instances where somebody would go on socials, it could be X, and complain something around a data breach. Let's, for example, use that example. Right, yeah. Now you are asking, how, where do I come in as a public affairs practitioner in such an instance? Assuming that issue has affected an organization that you are representing as a public affairs person. And this is where now you'll work closely with public relations people. This is an example, a good example where you end up working together. So the public relations person will be focused on how do we mitigate this crisis in a way that it does not balloon, it does not become something that it was not really the case. If it's addressing the customer and understanding their issue, if it's telling them this is how we are sorting it out, if it's restoring the confidence of other customers and telling them this is an isolated case, for instance, okay, but this is generally how we've streamlined our processes to ensure these kind of things don't happen. They might happen because of an error here and there. But then as a public affairs person, I'll be asking myself, yeah, this has happened. What engagement are we having with the Office of the Data Protection Commissioner? Have we talked to them? Have we told them there is this issue and this is how we are handling internally? If, for example, you mentioned a bank, we are regulated by CBK. I need to be in talks with the regulator and tell them, I know this is happening, but this is how we are handling. It's those relationships and mm-hmm. making sure whichever relationship you have, they know things are running on course. People are handling it. Okay. It's ensuring that, and even probably it wouldn't be directly with the consumer, but it will be all this, if you are into a partnership. So probably you're a player, but you've partnered with another organization. Are we talking to the partner and telling them, relax, we are handling this. It's not a major issue, or this is how we are going about it. So it will be more around stakeholder engagement while the public relations person handles it. Yeah, but working very closely to ensure that we have a coherent strategy that then mitigates this particular crisis. I think that's how I would explain that.
Wow.
Moving to Mutua's point on taking it to a global scale and what we are seeing happening in universities in the US.
I didn't say the US, but you let up the cut.
Ooh.
With all this Palestine Israel maneno.
Yeah.
So at what point do you draw the line? I pointed out earlier on during our conversation that public affairs, the way I see it, and most other people see it that way, that who are in that space, is that it is an art. It is not an exact science. We are not here, it's not a 1+1=2, and it's mathematical in that sense. We are dealing with people. We are dealing with people that have different interests. So there's negotiation. There's give and take. There's finding that sweet spot I was talking about.
Yes, yes.
There's letting go of someone saying, I can lose this without feeling so much heat, but I'll be gaining something else. So there'll be instances as a practitioner where you tell your client, so here's the reality. Probably we've messed up big time if there's a particular issue. Mm-hmm. But even with that mess, this is what we can take out of it. This is the kind of luck we'll receive and which we can handle. But this is also what we can do with it to ensure that we are still okay. So it's understanding those intricacies and finding the right balance and making it very clear to whoever you're serving as a client that this is where we are at. It's being very realistic and telling them with what we've done, expect a lot of heat and pushback from Parliament, for instance. You guys may be summoned to a committee to answer some of these things. But even with the summons, because we can't prevent it, it's going to happen. How do we handle that process?
Oh, so that's another process all over again.
Yes.
Because now it has blown out of proportion.
It's already gone out.
It's gone out. It's there. And
so how do we manage that narrative?
Exactly. Yeah.
How do we put across our messaging, even as we interact with those stakeholders who will be now summoning us?
So can you want to say there's such a different sort of levels on how to handle all these disciplines?
There's levels to this.
There are levels to this.
Charlie,
and there are different people actually who can handle that. Or is it only Ken who's handled all that? Or it gets to a point, as Mutua was saying, you say, you know what, it's okay, give it to Mutua.
Charlie, see, the language you speak on X is not the language that you're going to speak in Parliament.
Of course, yes.
So that has to be framed by different people.
That's what he's saying.
So it's never a one-man job.
Correct.
It's never a one-man job.
Yeah.
It's always a team and team with different expertise.
Yes.
So I believe at any point when you're working as a public affairs practitioner, you'll always have other people feeding into your work and you feeding into their work. So it's always some level of consultation, collaboration. Closely work with media if you're in public affairs. Correct, because then media is now the outlet that then feeds the public.
Exactly.
So as they go to public, how are we shaping these messaging, for instance? How are we telling that story? If we have a story to tell as an organization around anything that we have or an issue, how are we then crafting and framing that story? Because at the end of the day, as a brand or as an organization, you need to own your story and tell your story a certain way.
So it's closely knit. That's what you're trying to say. Closely knit the kind of work that you do. Because I read somewhere earlier on, and someone actually who is in PR, with public relations or public policy, public administration, he called it eclectic and interdisciplinary.
Eclectic and
interdisciplinary. I wouldn't put it any better way. I think he got it spot on.
That's what I read it, yeah. This guy saying it's eclectic, interdisciplinary. Because when you get into this box, this is what we're going to, this is how we're going to sort out Mutua. It's something, it's clockwork, click, 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 from here to there, clear to there. There's no guesswork.
Yes.
Actually, there's a case I did, this is how, no, this is unique in its own
it's
discipline.
Totally what you've said. An example, I won't mention names, but an example that just gave me an instance seeing working with multiple people, different experts. Mm. So there's a crisis that sort of happened on a Friday, towards end of a Friday. And we knew the weekend it wouldn't have spread as much, but when it hit
today,
yes, like today. But if this Toro hits on Monday,
yeah,
we are doomed.
Boom.
We worked on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, multiple teams with lawyers, with consultants, with guys from abroad, with elements working in media and all, just to see how are we mitigating that particular crisis. And everyone has some sort of role they are playing. If it's the lawyer, then this is what I'm on top of this thing. Yeah. And we will debate even for an hour on just how to write one paragraph. If it's putting out that press statement saying this has happened.
Yeah, I heard it.
Guys would argue for an hour. And these are different people. You have a lawyer saying, no, that word, that one word.
Can change the whole spectrum.
Then the other person, the PR guy, is saying, no. If we put it this way.
It's going to be like this.
Then the public affairs is saying, if you put it, I'll be in trouble with my regulator, and that's my relationship I need to maintain.
Yeah.
So getting input, of course, at the end of the day, it becomes very cohesive, because then you've got input from different players, and everyone is moving the needle a different way in their own space.
Correct.
But working cohesively as a team.
So, this eclectic and what?
Interdisciplinary.
Interdisciplinary.
And I think Mutua needs to tell us what eclectic means. I know the guy is asking, what is this eclectic?
No. It's Charlie who came up with.
Something to do with the energies.
I want to take you back. Yeah. You had said that you had had pointers. You had done lobbying.
Yeah.
You had done relationship building. Then you had also talked about mitigating reputation. What else?
Reputation management.
Management. What else?
Yeah.
What else is remaining?
So just to recap, and I think you've got it right. So I mentioned there's advocacy and lobbying.
Yes.
We have keeping abreast, so monitoring legislation and regulations.
Correct. Yes.
Relationship building.
Yes.
Which still flows into stakeholder management and engagement. Then there's the policy analysis and strategy development.
Now, hammer that home.
Yeah, I like that.
Policy analysis, and now this is this putting on the public policy hat, public policy practitioner hat, is basically then being able to analyze. It could be policies in draft or proposals, policy proposals being sort of flown around as people are thinking around something. I mentioned the e-mobility policy.
Mm-hmm.
Before we got it on paper as something that has been put down, written, there's a lot of discussion around it. And now when it came into being in draft form, as a practitioner who probably is working in an organization or you're serving clients as a consultant, you then need to break this down and understand what does it entail, what does it mean for the industry at large, and even probably for a particular player in a space. So if you are somebody who's doing e-bikes, for example, this is an important piece of document for you. You need to understand how then does it impact your business model, if you have a business model that is structured a certain way. And if it does affect it, is it affecting it positively or is it affecting it negatively? And if it is negative, what input can I put across in shaping an outcome then that will be favorable to the interest that I have? So then you need somebody who can actually analyze that. It's actually a process. Now, there's a science to that. I mentioned there was art, but now there's a science to this, mm-hmm. where you need to properly analyze that policy document and then break it down in a way that somebody will tell, okay, now I see how this applies to me. And this is the step forward I need to take in terms of then pushing across certain agenda. And then that takes you back now to the lobbying aspect. Because now once you have analyzed, then you know what I need to put in as my proposals, who I need to engage, who I need to lobby, and all manner of things. So that's how I would break down policy analysis and strategy develop. Strategy in the sense of, because once you've analyzed, then you need to come up with a strategy. What is then our strategy when it comes to that e-mobility policy as an organization? How are we approaching it? What measures are we putting in place internally, even as we anticipate this policy taking shape and becoming effective? What proposals are we putting in? Does it need us to restructure organization? Does it need us to find talent that is specific for this new area that the policy is bringing in? Does it mean we are going to form new relationships? Is it bringing in a new regulator? Because it could be bringing in a new regulator.
Let me ask you a question. There's something what we call the office of the devil's advocate. That's just me, my thoughts. Yeah. You do all these things. You put the papers down, the policies, mitigate that. But do you have somebody who sits in the corner and says, guys, that's going to fail? And you go back and keep going back again to make sure this thing is tight. It's watertight and all that. Do you anticipate situations where, yeah, fine, we're doing all this, public policy, we'll do this, we'll talk to the government, blah, blah, blah. But is there that part in your brain that says, what if? What if? Sorry, I'm playing the devil's advocate here.
And absolutely, it's actually
spot. Because there has to be that thing that there has adrenaline, you're like.
And sometimes you play that role yourself,
okay,
being the policy analyst.
Yes.
Like you need to take the other side. As lawyers, we are trained to always also see the argument on the other side.
Yeah.
You can't just go saying, this is my argument, and
that's it.
You have to put on the shoes of the other party, mm-hmm. and actually enact those scenarios in your head, mm-hmm. on how the other party will argue their case.
Wow.
So the same concept here, you have to look at it from that other side. What if it doesn't work this particular? What if our proposal is not really feasible?
Yes.
What if we hit this blockade or this roadblock? How do we handle that? So you have to play all that. So it could be yourself doing that, but of course you always need to brainstorm with other people.
Yes.
And that's where now the interdisciplinary nature of it comes in.
Thank you.
Where you got other players telling you, wait a minute, Ken.
Yeah.
There's something here.
Now, Ken, one of my favorite government relations people, of course, is called James Baker. And I will leave that conversation at that. he gives someone a golden goose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your case today, there's a business person that is listening to this conversation. There's a small and medium enterprise that is working towards scalability. There's a big entity that has had crazy, crazy, crazy profits. Now, all these people, why do they need a public policy, public affairs, government relations person? Or department, rather.
Excellent question.
Wow.
And I'm glad you've brought that up.
Wow.
Because I want to introduce a new term.
Aha, we are not legalese?
It's not legalese.
Okay.
It's called VUCA.
Let me write it down.
V-U-C-A.
Oh, V-U-C-A. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
V-U-C-A.
Basically stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. So we live in a VUCA world. And that's what we all need to understand. And I'm glad you said it could be the SME, the mamamboga down there. It could be the large corporate that is generating super profits. So that VUCA world simply means we live in a very fast-paced environment where things are rapidly changing.
Yeah.
It could be regulations, it could be laws, it could be policies, all manner of things. And you can even feel, we were talking about employees and how our payroll has changed, mm-hmm. our pay slips mm-hmm. have evolved quite fast since the new government came into,
very
where one moment you have this thing being deducted, then there's this. It's not as
the tax collectors.
As predictable as it was correct. Before.
Yes.
And that applies almost everywhere in all industries, both highly regulated and not so much regulated. It's not as Kitambo where you will pay your legal or regulatory requirements would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have them on a chart. You've been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years. Today you wake up, there's something new that has happened. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, so you actually need then people with this sort of skill set who are able to constantly be on the pulse of things and knowing what is happening, what is emerging, what is changing, what is the impact of that change to us. Because believe it or not, regulatory changes have got significant impact on businesses. Yeah. It's actually very critical. I will say public affairs is actually a critical element that businesses need within their strategy and their organization. Because in that VUCA world that we are talking about, which is volatile, which is uncertain, which is complex, which is ambiguous, you need somebody who can then break that down for you, who can guide you as you are engaging the different stakeholders that have a say over your business and the environment that your business operates in, and then who can maneuver and navigate that space in terms of lobbying and ensuring that your interests are then factored in the formulation of some of these policies that have an effect on your business.
Charlie.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was good. I mean, I was just writing notes. okay, I can see time. Oh, my goodness. Very quickly. I was just going through my notes, and there's this guy. I was just watching him on YouTube, and he's talking about the P's of public relations. So very quickly, before we go, price, placement, promotion, press, publicity, and public relations.
I like it.
So Charlie, he said the P's of public relations.
Yes.
And he put the last P is public relations.
No, sorry. No, oh, my bad. It's price, placement, promotion, press, and publicity, not public relations.
Oh, yes. I was wondering.
Yeah.
So those cover public relations.
Yeah. So that is public relations.
I think that's apt, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Price.
What about price?
Yes.
You want me to talk about price?
Yeah, very quickly on public relations.
lawyer's mind.
Yeah, I know.
When money is being talked about.
You see Ken also smiles.
Hey, when fee is being talked about, Ken's like, oh.
I know why I asked that.
Price is critical.
Yes, please.
And all of us at some point have to contend with price.
Cool.
At the end of the day, we are all consumers of some nature.
Correct.
We are all customers at some point. Mm-hmm. So price is critical. Ensuring you get it right on price then allows you to sort of have a competitive edge in the market. So if you're an organization, is to understand at what is the level of optimum price point, where if I put it, I still retain and attract my customers, I'm still able to run my operations, I'm still able to pay my obligations if it's taxes and all these things, and still make a profit so that my shareholders are happy and my stakeholders are okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say about price.
Okay. I did once a show here about competition law. But I won't get into that one in relation to price. That's another story for another day. And I learned it from my lawyer here, which taught me so much.
It was John. Thank you. It was Kimoth.
It doesn't
George.
Matter, but yes. You are here. But super right. Stuff, man. Super stuff. Ken, wow. Amazing.
Thank you.
Wow. Amazing. I've learned so much. Thank you so much coming to Capital FM. And Wakili Mutua, thank you also for such a wonderful. It's been 1 hour. It's just gone. Wow.
It ran so fast.
Yeah. Wow, any final words, bro? How can people get in touch with you? Maybe on your socials, maybe something. I'd like to meet Ken. I want you to talk to me about my organization and all that. How can they get in touch with you, sir?
You can get me on socials, mostly X, LinkedIn, and Facebook. No. It's Kennedy Osore.
Okay.
So if you just Kennedy Osore, you'll find me. My email is osorekennedy@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also just drop me an email if you want to sort of have a conversation around some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you. Wakili Mushua, yes. Where can people plant trees? How can they get in touch with you tomorrow?
No. Don't get in touch. Not unless you're buying me whiskey.
Of course.
If it's a whiskey conversation, then you can get in touch with me. But what I would tell people to get in touch here is this and all these episodes are always found on Capital FM's website.
Mm.
They're also found on SoundCloud. Yep. They're also found on Apple Music and any other platform that Capital FM is on. So there are ridiculous number of episodes.
Amazing,
and covering different areas of law.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll continue enlightening the public. We'll also continue enlightening our learned friends. Actually, I tell people, if you listen to this show, you can go to LSK and say, look, guys, I listened to that show for 1 hour. You can give me a CPD point. Yes. So we keep on enlightening the public. True, we keep on driving this conversation to the national level. Yes. And we'll keep on doing this every single Thursday.
Yes, 6:30, 7:30.
People can just find any of all the episodes that we've done.
Wow, amazing. Yes. Kennedy, thank you so much, Wakili, for coming through.
Thank you. Thank you for
You're
having me.
You're not disappearing.
Me.
You're coming back again.
I'll definitely come back. I know there's a host of other things we can discuss.
Many.
So
many.
More than happy to come back again.
And of course, congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you. Thank you.
May
thank
the
you.
Lord bless you now and into your future.
Thank you and amen.
All right. Remember, this continues every Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30. This conversation, as Wakili Mutua said, 0701-984-984. Hashtag quick one, Wakili. Hashtag the legal insider.